I want to talk about discipleship. I think that's a good thing to do, every once in a while to do that. And there's a verse, you might want to follow that, and it comes on the screen there. Matthew chapter 11, oh, I'll drop down here, Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples. It's a command of God that you and I would have disciples at the end of our ministry. And baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything. But there's another passage as well. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen. As we're laboring for the Lord, at the same time he gives us rest. And for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for calling us to yourself. And thank you for wanting to continue to build into our lives. And we give you praise. Lord, I pray that you would give me words to say here today that would be a blessing. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name. I was trying to figure out when the discipleship journey began for me. I don't mean when Jesus came into my heart. Thank God for that. But, you know, there's many people have not gone beyond that. They invited Jesus into their heart. They would say they are Christians, and I would say they are Christians. They're no doubt Christians, but they're not disciples. The call is to discipleship. And as that becomes more real to us, we start thinking about the invitation. The invitation to us, of course, is very simple. And yet, as well, at the same time, very profound. Jesus simply says, come to me. Well, there must be more to it than that. No, just come. Come to me. And he said, I'm going to work a work in your life. And I thought, you know, as I can remember when I prayed to receive Jesus as Savior, but it was not very deep. And it wasn't about discipleship. It was I don't know what it was. But it's a wonderful thing because the Lord Jesus is always asking us to come. He says, come to me. And so we come to him. Is that it? Is the other shoe going to drop? Is something going to happen here? No, he says, come. And so we venture forth and say, Lord, whatever you're doing. But he's always asking us to come. He asked me to come here today in the days ahead, There'll be that same call. He says, come to me. And it's made fresh again, I think, over and over again. So the invitation is also continuous. And so it's a call that goes on and on. And it's a personal invitation as well. It's to me. It's to you. And as he comes, we say, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I bless you. So Jesus says, come to me. I remember a funeral. Oh, maybe it was 2 years ago here. It was here. And I remember I was running out of words. It'd be a first, wouldn't it? And I could feel the crowd kind of inching away in the funeral. And I remember just saying, Lord, I said, come, just come. Come, just come to him right now. You can come at any way you are, just come. And there was, I think, a turning that moment. Something that was, okay, I'll come. And a number of people indicated that they had really been touched by the message. So we can ask the question, are we tired, exhausted, consumed with weariness and religious effort? Because that's what Jesus said. If you're tired, if you're weary, if this thing is overwhelming you, because you can confuse this for something else, you want to get the real thing. And it doesn't matter how long you've been away. It doesn't matter if you've been away 5 minutes or 5 years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've never come to him. You can still come today. Come. Come. What a Lord. What a Lord that said, but I blew it. He says, I know you blew it. Come to me. And it's an invitation of encouragement to say that this is a Lord that would work this way in my life. It's unbelievable. It's so fantastic. So come to me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden. And we have that invitation again. I'm glad to be able to have a cup of coffee with a complete stranger, get in a conversation, and say, have you ever invited Jesus to come into your life? Not the church, not religion, but Jesus. Because it's so inviting. I said, you can invite him right here, right now. Well, I'm not much of religious. No, you don't have to be. Matter of fact, it's even better if you aren't. See, it doesn't matter who you are, your race, your gender, your background, or your personality, or your past. It doesn't matter. He just says, come. And we, as we practice doing that and seeing him come, it's very inspiring. So all we must do is to humble ourselves and admit that we've blown it. That's all that requires, as far as I know. You just come. Well, yeah, sure, yeah, well, we know what. No, there's no. Nothing wrong about that. It's not going to be any different. It's what it is. It is what it is. And you can come. And he gives a promise. More than just a promise. He gives you rest. That's what he said. If you come, I give you rest. And I will give it to you. And you'll find the relief from the pressures. A spa for the soul. A refuge. A place of peace and rest. But here's the rub. Here's the rub. When you come to the Savior, for you won't be sitting at his feet. You won't be sleeping. You won't be relaxing. You know what you'll be doing? You'll be working. You'll be working. You'll be working alongside Jesus, learning from him. He said, if you come to me, I'll give you rest, and you'll learn of me. That's what we'll be doing. Learning of him and watching him, how he works, and being transformed and being mentored. Jesus mentors us. And I thought, you know, I've learned a lot over the years. I know a lot. Most of it's useless, but I've learned a lot. One more theory somebody has learned. Oh my, so much. And I thought, I wonder. Jesus says, come to me, and that's all he says. And we're kind of stuck with all this information that we've learned, and it's kind of depressing. But he wants to mentor us. So as you come to him, see, the truth is that when you come to Jesus, you'll find yourself working harder than ever. But it's a different kind of work. It's the work that he does. And the question is, and what is the work he creates us to do? He trains us to be his disciple. And you are his disciple, so you can help disciple others. He says that he brings us to himself, and then he comes again, and over again this happens. And in the midst of a responsibility, learning this, place in the context of labor and tutoring, on the job, insight, field work, classroom work, all these things are, it'll happen when you don't think it'll happen. It can be on a bus, it can be on a train, it can be anywhere. And I find things that I'm learning just let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you and direct you. So he asks us to be his disciples so that we might make disciples. See, I don't know about you, but I desire greatly to be a solid disciple. To follow the Lord in all his ways, wherever he would take us, wherever he would take you, wherever he would take me. And while we're doing the work, he's doing the work in us. How crazy is that? While we're doing the work, so we're laboring for him, come on to me, all you, and labor, he's doing the work in us. So we rejoice in that and say, well, is this how it should be? What's how it is? That's what the invitation is for. And Jesus is the ultimate personal trainer. Absolutely. Jesus asks us to come to him, to come to, literally come to him, not to the church, not necessarily, that's a place for that. But he asks us to come to him so we can find rest. And then as soon as he finds rest, he says, now take my yoke. What? Your yoke? What is that about? And we open our heart to him. It doesn't sound very restful, we might say. The yoke, oh, that doesn't sound that good. I'm confused. Do you want me to rest or do you want me to work? And he says, yes. What? How could that be? He says, yes, but Lord, if I'm tired, do you really want me to put on the yoke? And he says, yes, and yes, I do. I do want you to. Lord, I'm tired, and you're talking about work. How can I rest, and how can I work at the same time? And Jesus would talk to us very clear about being yoked with the yoke of Jesus. It was, I'll explain it a little bit as to how it worked. Understanding the yoke, it was an ancient Eastern custom. And it was the younger was always tied up to the older. And that was the custom of it. A green ox with an older one. And these two ox would walk together. And as you might expect, the younger wild ox didn't have a clue, didn't have an idea of how to walk to lay a straight line. It just wasn't happening there. He would strain at the yoke to go off in its own direction, or rush ahead, or rush behind his trainer. And so Jesus is inviting us to share his yoke with him. With him. And we tie it on and say, Lord, now I'm obviously, he's the experienced one. He's the fitness expert. He's the one asking us to take up his yoke. Read that. He's inviting us to do that. And he's inviting us to learn from him. And I find myself saying, Lord, tie me tightly to you. So you're inviting me to learn. So when we invite Jesus into our hearts, we link our lives with him. I want to be linked to him. I know you do too. So we invite Jesus into our hearts, we link our lives, and then something interesting happens, something rather strange happens. And the oppressive yoke turns to be an easy thing. And the heavy burden becomes light. And if the Christian life, of course I've felt this way for years, if the Christian life seems heavy, it's probably because you're not defining it properly in the Christian life. It shouldn't feel like, your Christian life should not feel like a job. Where he said, this is my yoke is easy. How did we make it so hard and so difficult where people drop off? They literally drop off. And they don't feel that they can do that. And so there's lots of people that said, I can't do it. I can't keep up. But that's because your definition is wrong. Jesus had come and you won't be sorry you came. It just gets better and better and better. But you can miss Jesus. Can't we? I think we can miss him. We don't actually see. We're hooked into the wrong yoke. So Jesus says, come take my yoke from and learn of me. And as we do that, we say, Lord, this is what I've been looking for. And I can tell you honestly, dear ones here today, I can tell you honestly, I am never, ever hesitant in sharing my faith. Because when I tell them about this easy yoke, I said, don't worry, just come to him. He'll work out all the details. Let him work all the details and see where he'll take you. And so we come to him and we become connected to him in a remarkable way. As I'm yoked myself to him, and there we are. I can't draw a straight line in a field. By the way, I used to farm. Sure, I did. I had a job in a farm one time, and in that job, I was plowing. Seriously, I was plowing. You know, it's not as easy as you think. And so I'm driving the tractor. I should have looked back, I guess, a few times to see what was happening, but I didn't. And I thought I should go around this rock, a large rock in the field. That's mostly rock, in fact. And as I turned, I'm turning, and then to my horror, I had plowed up the field. But it was grain, it has grain in it. That fellow was some mad, I'll tell you, he was some mad. I didn't mean to do it, but it's not as easy as you think. That's all, I'll leave it with that. But I think it's many times, many Christians, that's how they act like that over things, and they just don't know what to do either. So we just say, Lord, lead me, guide me, but I'm linked to you, so you won't, I'll always be connected. I will always be connected to Jesus. How wonderful. And to his character. We become connected to him, and we become connected to his character, and the marks of a disciple began to be seen a little bit by little bit by little bit. I think there's areas of my life that Jesus would like to work on. He would like to shape me, there's certain areas that he'd like to shape me in. And I'm saying to myself, Lord, whatever Jesus wants, I have seen such joy in this that you can't help but want more. And I wonder if you've gone in your own Christian life, I wonder if you've gone as far as you can go under the circumstances. Have you come to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to go further. Link me to you, Jesus. Link me to yourself, so that I can go further. Otherwise, I just become this, for me, this old guy who, not old, but I'm stuck there. Shouldn't there be fresh things? Shouldn't there be new things? Shouldn't there be exciting things? Right up till you feel his arms around you, that all that time. And as we enter into that level, say, Jesus, here I am, I'm ready for whatever you want to do. You just do it, and you won't have any fight from me. Because I believe that if it's put on me, then we'll go at the speed that he wants to go. And I think one of the secrets is to get busy doing something for the Lord. I'm suggesting that we find our man, we find our woman. We should focus on another person and to see where that will take you. It will take you places. It really, really will. But we have to say to the Lord, Lord, which one? So here's what I'm suggesting. As the Sundays roll up, we'll get into August and July and other dates. It could be whatever. It doesn't matter when it is. And you spend that time scanning as you're sitting in your church, just looking around, noticing that there's that person. I wonder if they would like to enter into a mentoring with me. And you just say, okay, Lord, here we are. I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to pray about that person. That person, I've seen them several times. I wonder if they think they've gone as far as they could go. And so we give attention to one person, not 30 people, not 40 people, but just find somebody. I suspect in a church this size, there's all kinds of people, lots and lots of people that would love to enter into something. I mean, they would just say, here I am. And you should be very open about this, be very prayerful about this. And the key is personal attentiveness. I think that if you just watch around, look around, this is a smaller crowd here this morning, but down through the months ahead, there'll be people, there'll be all kinds of people, and you'll have a chance to say, I want to go for coffee, and something like that, and you give some attentiveness to it, and then away you go and say, why don't we meet for coffee? And you sit down and say, would you be interested in going through the Gospel of John? Or would you be interested in looking at Mark's gospel? Would you be interested? Not a big group, just a few, just a couple of us, just maybe just two of us. And I think there would be great fruit in that. a church full of people that found somebody to focus on and say, let's journey together. Let's see what the Lord will do. So here's, if you want to be, you don't want to be famous, but you do want, you want to carve your name on hearts and not on marble. I'll give that again. To carve your name on hearts and not on marble. It doesn't matter whether you'll be famous or not or well known in the church. You'll know that you carved and made a difference. It can be a couple, it could be anywhere. I was just reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. I don't think it's on any of the material here. But it says, there's lots of teachers, but not many fathers. There would be an encounter right there to be available, to focus on a person, to give attention to one person, not 30 people, but one person that you'd focus on. And pray about it first, pray about it, and pray about it, and pray about it, and pray about it. Say, Lord, is there anybody in this church of 400 people, is there anybody here that is feeling they've come to the end of this, and now they want to enter into discipleship? Is there anybody, Lord, that would like to go on that trip together? And so you pray, and pray about it again, and pray about it again, and pray about it again, and pray about it again. Until finally you feel that you're ready, and then you say, talk to that individual, that woman, that man, and you wait to see what will happen, and you approach them, and can you imagine if you spent 6 months together talking, sharing, just being open to each other, reading the verses, passing on, praying for each other, and doing that as a way of life. And I know somebody that I'm thinking about maybe approaching them. But I don't want to miss it, the timing. The timing is everything. And so when we come to this in the fall, there might be a time that you would just say, Lord, I think I know who my man is. I think I know who my woman is. I think I have a sense. Can we talk, just briefly at the coffee place? And you just say, no, I guess I'm going to wait a while. You don't want to force this. It has to be something gentle of the Spirit. And all you'd be doing is be sitting down or sitting over here at McDonald's or at Starbucks, and you're meeting and you're sharing together and you're enjoying it, and find yourself that you're changing. Your character is changing and your emphasis is changing. And just because you focus on Scripture and you focus on another person. But just a small, small group, very tiny group, and that you, it would fit you. It would fit you. And can you imagine just spending that time with an individual, how rich that would be? Well, I know it's rich. I know it. You know, I can go back to Winnipeg, 1968. Winnipeg, 1968. I was living there at that time. And this little revival broke. I guess that's it. If you were to ask Brother Ed Bradley, he was there during that time. There was probably about 15 or 20 young people started showing up at the church. I don't know how it even happened, but we formed a little group and we shared together. It was very intimate. It was very low key. It wasn't exciting at all, except for those in it. And there was a variety of people. And I still remember that I would walk home that night after that, and I could remember feeling so thrilled that these kids, they were young, junior high, I guess. I don't know what they were. No, they're a bit older. But what a moment it was. And I wonder where it's there. Now, I've moved away a long time ago, since 1968. But I'm simply saying, we just a bunch of ordinary, nobody, there's no titles, nothing to lean back on. It's just, do you want to meet with us? Oh, sure. So they'd meet with us week after week after week. Finally, the whole front row was filled. And with eager young people. And that was a very wonderful moment. You can't duplicate that, by the way. You have to just watch what God will do. I remember another time where there was a relationship I had with an individual, and we met for quite a while. And I remember back, where's Anne? I remember meeting with your father. And we're going over the Scriptures, just the two of us, just meeting together. And that's what it was about. It was just very low-key stuff happened, but exciting, at least in my heart. And I appreciated Tom. I really, really loved him. So what is it that this is about? It's simply finding one person that wants to go on, who's going to yoke himself to Jesus. And for a few weeks, it's not forever, it's not a lifespan where you say, well, now you're in this for life. It's just a matter of you coming to somebody and asking them if they'd be interested. Come back in a few weeks, and I can see, oh, see, there's lots of people that lead groups, but it's there's more to it than that. And there's too many people, for all of us, too many people sitting on the bench. And when somebody might be sitting in a coffee shop going over those things that they had, what they learned, and the joy of that last week that they had in the scriptures. And so they're becoming, and then what is the idea? The idea is that they would take somebody that they wanted to put the gospel in charge of, and they would go off, they'd go again. And there'd be another one. I would wonder how that would actually work. But if you give attention to one person, in other words, this, the power of personal attentiveness, the power of personal attentiveness. In other words, if you just watch, hang out, look more than beyond just who's here, and ask, be praying that God would use you, that maybe he would link you up. Maybe he'd link you up with somebody. What a time you'd have. What a great time. Especially if they were ready, they were interested, they're not going to be resisting it. They're going to be enjoying that. And you say, well, they're going to need a building. No, they don't need the. No, they can meet at a coffee shop. They can meet in the library. They can meet anywhere. But they'd have that meeting. And it would be glorious. So that we can carve our name on hearts and not on marble. Here's the question. Have you found your man? Have you found your woman? Can you think of somebody that would be anxious to say, I've been looking for something like this for a long time? See, you don't have to be a big shot. You don't have to have a large ministry. Here's just two people. Or maybe there'd be three, but probably just two. And you would be enjoying that and you talk and getting together. Not too much so, just the night you decide to meet. Agree on it, or whatever you want to do, whenever you want to have it. But the focus is on people. And imagine if there was over here and over here and over here, there was groups that were meeting. I think I know what it looks like. The only problem is because for me, it hurts me a little bit because some people don't actually want to meet with a person who's the pastor, who was the pastor. That's pretty difficult. Oh, you're with the church. Well, I don't have to be, right? All I'm saying is that it's easier if you were just an ordinary person, ordinary job, a woman, a man, and you're just available to the Lord. You're not with the church, you're with Jesus, who calls you to follow him. And you'd have this wonderful, I can picture it. Nothing will be as good as that. You will look back on that and you say, what a run that, what a time that was where we met those week after week after week talking about Jesus, tying his yoke tighter and tighter till finally we're completely yielded to him. And the character change begins and your temper begins to be worked on by the Lord. It's just a wonderful thing. It's kind of, in a way, it would be a secret ministry. There would be scores and scores and scores of people that nobody even sees. They would just be available, and that'd be fantastic in every way. It's powerful, powerful. I can remember one other time we were meeting. We all moved away. That was the problem, but there was people even at the Bible school. At Esten, I remember having dark, a long, conversations that were so personal. And we were meeting, even though we were all Bible school students, supposed to be smart, but we weren't necessarily so. But it was just, we were talking and we'd meet every night for almost a whole year. I remember that. And even though we still had the Bible school stuff we were doing, we were just meeting at nighttime, just one or two guys, and praying for each other. And it's nothing like it. You can't, all you can do is just enjoy it. I'm just going to pause here. Does anything appeal to you? Maybe not the way I'm sharing it, but does anything appeal to you in the idea of one-on-one, somebody just meeting with somebody else? Again, you've been praying about it. You've been seeking the Lord. You've been waiting on Him. It's not impulsive. No, you're not trying to grab the first victim that you can find. But it's somebody that would be here in the church and has never been mentored. And so you say, you might even actually be only two steps ahead of him or her. Might be just that way. But it would be you'd be available to each other, and you focus on another person, and just give attention to one person. If they would agree to it, and you could meet together. Does anybody have an interest like that you would see that in your own life? Maybe it terrifies the life out of you. Yeah, William. Yes. Yeah, and I guess it would be a connection you would just make together. You'd have to agree on it together with somebody. Otherwise, you can't. Anybody else? That's good. A little louder, I think, right?
And it was a great fellowship, and even our lives became very close as a result of that meeting. We met one morning when the boat bumped into the dock on Vancouver side. I looked up, and there he was, and we shook hands because we were both reading our New Testaments.
Yes. Well, I think that's every group would be a little bit different, right? But I think I could see it being just like that. And then the Holy Spirit doing all kinds of unusual things where you just say, wow, boy, I didn't know it was going to be like that, but it was. I can look back, that thing I was talking about, these younger people at Grace Tabernacle in Winnipeg. It was probably one of the most fruitful times of my whole life. It wasn't long-lived, and I went on to other things, but it was that was a powerful time for me, because all of a sudden I realized God had His hand on me, and I needed to listen to what He was saying, and ended up at Eston. But it was really, really powerful. And I knew that God was trying to show, He was trying to get me discipled so I could what? So I could disciple. So they could disciple, and they could disciple. It could be quite explosive in the best way. Let's stand. Go and make disciples. That's what He says. And that doesn't mean try to find more church people necessarily, but it could. It could have somebody like that. But it would be an opportunity for you to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want to use me? Because I find that's this great desire that I must be used by God. Don't you? Don't you feel the same thing? That there's I can't just be doing business as usual. You know, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Well, who's going to put Humpty together? And I read somewhere that they said actually Humphrey was pushed. So I'm not sure what we're going to do with that. But I would like to pray for you, as you pray for me, even in this moment here, that because I can see, you know what I see? I see the word potential written all over so many people here. You're just who you are. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we see an explosion, though, to take you further with somebody? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your admonition. We hear your command, go and make disciples. We hear you. Lord, now we really, in one way, don't have a clue of what to do. But we say, here am I. Lord, link me up. Link up my brothers and sisters here today. Thank you for this call. And Lord, I can picture us in coffee shops or in libraries or wherever we might be, but we'd be doing the work of the King and pouring out our hearts to each other, sharing the ups and downs of life. So God, if you want to take us from where we are now to where you want us to go, we say yes. We say yes. Let's go, Holy Spirit. Let's do this. Lord, may we not, be in any way, may this not be a negative thing, but let it be a positive thing. And we love you and we praise you. Bless, Lord, I pray, Valley Church. Bless it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I invite you to go. I think the coffee pot is out that way. You think I would know about that? I must know about that. So thank you for being here.